Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, the first four stanzas. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 1 through 4 of 368.
Lord, our God.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 72. Psalm 72. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified and dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. And there shall be an handful of corn in the earth, upon the top of the mountains, the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and Amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we may read what lay in the heart of thy servant so many years ago already. But he may glorify and magnify thee with his tongue. Or he may sing praises unto thee for who that thou art. And then in a special way for those that are poor and those that are needy, that thou wilt break in pieces the oppressor, and that thou wilt save the children of the needy. All eternity shall not be long enough to glorify thy and holy name. For the salvation of those that are not able to save themselves. Lord, it is a deep pit that thou hast come to deliver thy church from. And thou knowest wherefrom that they do cry, even those in our midst who may cry out of that pit. And that are not able to give themselves that new life. That do sit in the darkness and in the shadow of that spiritual death. That thou may hear their cry, Lord. That it may come into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And that thou may hear and that thou may deliver them from the captivity of the prince of darkness. That thou may deliver them from all their iniquity and from all their sin, that thou may forgive all that is guilty, and that thou may wash and cleanse all that is filthy. That there may be such ones in the midst of us that may cry out unto thee, that thy power also may be felt and may be experienced in their own life, whose enemies are multiplied on the outside and on the inside, and against whom Satan himself has set all his forces. He will bruise thy heel, and he will come against thy church. And they shall not be able to deliver themselves from his power. And so they shall cry unto thee. And so thou wilt be glorified in the life of those that deserve because of their own sin to go eternally lost. Lord, that these matters may be known, may be experienced in the life of each and every one of us. That we may know thee, who that thou art in thy saving power. That it may be experienced in order that our mouth also may go open as the mouth of thy servant. And that many may hear and that many may come also to seek that God that may deliver the needy when he crieth. That thou may remember us with our dear children. We do not see what our awful state and condition is by nature. We need our eyes to be opened, Lord. We need thy Holy Spirit to show to us what our guilt and our sin is, in order that we may cry to thee. That is our only hope. It is our only expectation. Do it then for thy own great and holy name's sake. And look also upon thy own children, for thou knowest that they cry often so little. They can be sitting upon such a bed of slothfulness. They can be so far away from the right place. They can wander away from that close life, and they do not feel
as sin as they ought to feel it. Oh, then they need also thy Spirit by renewal to awaken and to bring to that cry. Oh, that thou may look then upon each and every one of us. Oh, without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Oh, instruct us then out of thy prophetical office. And wilt thou lead us in thy kingly office. And wilt thou forgive us out of thy priestly office. And that so we may be served out of thy fullness. And that we may glorify thee when our cup may run over. O grant us instruction who are so ignorant. Remember all the congregation. Lord, there is one thing needful, thou dost say. We have many needs in this life. Oh, that thou would bind that one thing needful upon our hearts. That we may learn to redeem the time indeed by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Then it shall not be alone with our mind, but then it shall be driven by thy Spirit, and then there shall be fruit in our life. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord. Look on all the afflicted ones, the blind, the deaf, the lame, and those that are handicapped, and all that have needs and special cares in this life, the widows, the widowers and orphans, Lord. Wilt thou show thyself to be near to such and to be their helper in the day that they cry to thee? Wilt thou look upon our children and our youth when tomorrow then they hope to begin school once again? Wilt thou look on all those that are called to stand before them, and the teachers and the principals, and all those that labor in their midst when they stand before our children day by day? Oh, that it may be evident that the fear of thy name does dwell in that place, and that thy Spirit also is working in that place. Oh, to give unto our teachers hearts that may carry the burden of the souls of their children, and that it may be evident also in their instruction that there is one thing needful. And wilt thou give to our youth and children protection in all their ways, keep them from evil and from sin, from following the ways of sin and vanity and of their own evil hearts. And wilt thou bless the instruction in the home and in the school and in the church, when we begin catechism classes and confession classes again, wilt thou supply and give us wisdom? Oh, give us a heart that may feel something of the seriousness of our work, and that we stand before souls that are traveling to a never-ending eternity, that as instructors we also may receive that earnestness and that is necessary in our labors. Wilt thou look on all our nation? Wilt thou strengthen our rulers in the way of thy holy word and in thy law? Oh, that thou may teach and instruct them from above. And wilt thou give when our rulers will meet together in the high places of the earth, oh, that thy Spirit may also work amongst them, and wilt thou give them to rule us in accordance with thy holy word. May we remember once again the Jewish nation. O Lord, we beseech thee for thy help and for thy protection in this time wherein they are, oh, that thou may show thyself, that thy mighty hand may be evident as it has been evident in the years gone by, to be on their right and on their left, and to be their protector from every enemy that would seek to destroy them. And may thou also give them to acknowledge thee in a right way. Oh, bring them to thy footstool as that true Messiah and the Savior that has come into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember all those that are in the prisons. Oh, that thou may give repentance unto the guilty. And may thou give courage and strength unto the innocent. And may thou supply for all those that do help the needy in this world in places where the misery of this world is experienced in a great measure. Oh, that thou may help in all the circumstances, and that thou may give us also liberal hearts unto those who suffer in this world. Wilt thou go before us also in this afternoon hour? Oh, grant that thy word may go forth over the length and the breadth of this earth, and that more servants in the year to come may go before us, or to be truly converted and called by thee into thy vineyard to labor amongst the congregations. Be with all the congregations that are vacant. Strengthen all that labor in the reading and in the preaching of thy word. And wilt thou help us in this afternoon, or be on our right and on our left, and give us a rich portion of the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Take away, O Lord, what belongs to us, what belongs and comes from man. And thou who knowest the heart of each and every one in the midst of this flock in this afternoon hour, all could it please thee to give us a word, O Lord, as thou hast promised. Oh, give us a word, and that may be for true conversion, that may be for true instruction and for true comfort. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity. We ask it undeservedly in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 263, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. He has brought salvation, He has made it known. And before the nations is His justice shown. The last collection today is for the school, 263, all stanzas. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for Lord's Day 11 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Question 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer. Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. So far, our Lord's Day. The name Jesus first, the declaration of salvation in this name. Second, the impossibility of salvation outside of this name. And third, the receiving of salvation through this name. The name Jesus, first, the declaration of salvation in this name. Second, the impossibility of salvation outside of this name. And third, the receiving of salvation through this name. Jesus, that is, congregation, a very well-known name. Who does not know this name? Over the length and the breadth of the earth, there are not so many anymore that do not know of this name, Jesus. It is a name that is abused in such an awful way. It is a name that is very often taken in vain. It is a name that is used in mockery. It is a name that is used in cursing. It is a name that is often used in a deceitful way before men. And yet it is a name that we can read in the Holy Word of God that one day every man is going to bow before this name, that name Jesus, that we will bow before him as our judge. And yet, this name Jesus does not speak about him in the capacity of his judgment, or in the capacity of his other offices, thus his capacity as a king and as a priest or as a prophet in particular, then this name is not speaking about any one of these offices in particular. But this name that is not an official, but it is the personal name of the Lord Jesus, that is, the Son of God. Your name, children, that was given to you by your parents, your father and your mother. This name has also been given unto the Lord Jesus by his Father. And this is a name that is speaking about who that the Lord Jesus is, about what his character is, about
what his person is, about what his work is. Our character, our person that is brought with us in this world, in everything that we do, in every place that we go, in all the work that we attempt to accomplish, then we bring with us our own person. We bring with us our own character. Then we cannot separate ourselves from who we are. So that is also with the Lord Jesus Christ. His being, his existence, his personhood, his character, his purpose that went with him in every place that he went in this world, and it may be seen in every work that the Lord Jesus may accomplish in this world. Everywhere that he goes and everything that he does is stamped by the personhood, by the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, what now is this character? What is this personhood of this second person of that Holy Trinity that is revealed to us by the Father in his name, in the name Jesus? And our children know what the name Jesus means. Right, children? What does the name Jesus mean? That means Savior. Why? Because we read, he shall save his people from their sins. Thus, it is this stamp that is lying upon every office and every work of the Lord Jesus in this life. Thus, as king, he saves. As prophet, he saves. As priest, he saves. As redeemer, he saves. As mediator, he saves. As surety, he saves. If we will take saving, that work of saving, out of the character and the person and the work of Christ, then he is no longer Jesus. And your congregation, is not this exactly the thing that we see all around us in all that which is called Christianity, where indeed he is made into an example for a man, so that he is no longer necessary as a savior, and then he is no longer Jesus, then we see the entire gospel that is lost. And there is no more good tidings unto those who are poor, unto those who are needy, unto those who are not able to save themselves, unto those who need the divine power of this child. That saving work was a work that was so evident in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. What did he do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed those that were lame. He gave a sight to those who were blind. He defended those that were oppressed. He heard the cry of the poor and the needy. And so we see exemplified in his work, is his entire work when he was here upon this earth, that name Jesus. And how was that name Jesus not magnified and glorified by all of these helpless and poor people that were upon the earth? There were times that the Lord Jesus said to them that they should close their mouth, that they should be quiet, and they should say to no one what they have experienced, what they have seen. And what do we read? That they were not able to hold in the magnifying of this name of Jesus. And yet we know that by many there was scorn, by many there was contempt, there was mockery of this name. By whom? By what kind of people? That was by people who did not need to be helped. It was by people who did not need to be saved. It was by those people who could see already, who could hear already, who could walk already, who were alive. When they did not need at all a Savior, and they have cast scorn and contempt upon this name. They were the children of Abraham, neither were they in bondage to any man. They did not need a redeemer. They did not need anyone to bring them out of the prison of death. They were those who understood the scriptures and who did not need a prophet and who did not need a teacher. To all these, this Jesus was a contempt. He was an offense unto them. They hated him. His words, they cut them into their very heart. They could not humble themselves under Jesus. And why not? Because, congregation, they had no sin. Or they did not see what their sin was. They did not believe that they had sin. And sin is that thing from which this Savior Jesus has come to save, has come to deliver. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is Savior? Because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. Thus, He did not come to deliver us out of all of our earthly troubles. No, He came to deliver from sin. That is spiritual trouble. Do we have also sin? And do we have spiritual trouble over sin? To save, that actually means to deliver. Thus, He came to deliver men from sin. Sin, by nature, has dominion over man. Sin, by nature, is that which holds man, which keeps man in his captivity. And salvation, that is exactly the deliverance from the dominion of sin. Oh no, not that all sin in this world then will be immediately finished in the life of that people, but it is that sin will not reign in their life. Sin will not have dominion in the life of that people anymore. There were many that were delivered in this life who did not need more than a deliverance from outward troubles. It was sufficient for Shimei when he came to David, and that he may only not receive that punishment that he deserved. King Saul, oh, honor me now before the people. Just don't let me be dishonored in front of all of my subjects. Just deliver me from the consequences of my sin. Oh, 9 out of the 10 lepers, they had no need for anything but for an earthly, but for a temporal deliverance. Have you also been sick? Have you also lain in the hospital? And have we felt a need to be healed, to be delivered? But is this as far as our need for deliverance has ever been felt in our own life? Oh, that man with the palsy, he he needed much more. And the Lord Jesus knew that he needed also much more, and therefore the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." If it was not necessary, the Father had never sent his only begotten Son into this world. If it was never necessary, he had never humbled himself so deeply. He had never separated himself from his Father. He had never endured the wretchedness and the misery and the consequences of the sin of man if it had not been necessary. But the Father and also the Son have known what the necessity of that suffering of the Son of God was. Thus they have known how deeply man has fallen into this pit of corruption, that it was not possible for man to climb out of this pit anymore, to save himself anymore. And therefore, the Father and the Son, and they have agreed that he should come into this world, knowing how deep that fall of man was. Congregation, what was it? What was it that the Son of God has accomplished for the sake of the fulfillment of this name, that he may save his people from their sins? Oh, then he has paid their price. He has paid, he has endured the punishment for that people. He has taken it away, nailing the sin of that people unto the cross. And he has in the second place also taken away their death. How? By obedience unto the entire law of God. A perfect obedience. An obedience which had something attached to it. That the Lord had said, "Do this and thou shalt live." And so he also has done this. He has obeyed and he has lived, and his church and that lives with him. Oh, this is what he has fulfilled. It is everything. It is a complete salvation for one who has made himself into the chiefest of the sinners. And therefore, our fathers say that there is no salvation outside of this name, and likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. That is our second thought. They are the words of Peter. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That is, that the Lord Jesus is not only a Savior, but this Lord Jesus is also the Savior. And why is it that the Lord has to say this? Well, congregation, we know today that there are many that are making the Lord Jesus into just another prophet. Thus, there were many prophets, and there was Elijah, there was Elisha, and so on, children. Many prophets. And then they say, well, the Lord Jesus, he was just a prophet like all of these other prophets. He was a very great prophet, even Islam. They will confess that the Lord Jesus, indeed, he was a great prophet. But it is not only false Christendom, it is also even within that true church. Because it is one thing to learn that we need a Savior, but it is another thing to learn that we need the Savior. Oh, man does not seek after this Jesus in the first place. No, he is always looking for other saviors. And man, if he can use even only a half of a savior, oh, just a helping hand from the Lord. Oh, if the Lord Jesus may only go before us, if he may be for us an example and that we may follow in his steps, then he may help us in that way of salvation. No. No, for there is none other save this Savior. Thus, he must become the Savior. He must become the only name, the only hope, and the only expectation of that church. Not a mere example, no. He must become an atonement. The price that is paid for the sin of the church in all its completion. Therefore, our fathers, and they ask, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, or of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Boast, they say, of him in words, and yet in deeds deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. Who does that speak about, children? Does that speak about the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews? Cannot. Why not? Because they do not even boast in Jesus. No, they deny him altogether. Thus it is not speaking about those who are denying the Lord Jesus altogether. Of whom are our fathers speaking? Our fathers are speaking of those who make a profession. Of those who profess this name of Jesus. And yet they say that it is a false profession. So we have heard this in this past week. Of those that are building a house upon the sand, of those that are making a false profession. And so we have heard how that the Lord Jesus is continually making a distinction so that man would not deceive himself in this world. Oh, what a fearful thing to boast. Children, do you ever boast? Maybe you have done that once. Maybe you have boasted of your own strength. And then that strength was put to the test. And then you have become so ashamed. Why? Because then it was evident to everyone that you have boasted in your own strength, or you have boasted in your own wisdom. And then when it was put to the test, oh, then it was evident to everyone that you were not really so strong. Then it was evident to everyone that you really were not so wise. Oh, how ashamed were you then? Oh, what an awful thing to now boast. To boast of him in words and yet to deny him. And why? Oh, that is much greater than just being ashamed of boasting of our own strength. The consequences of such a boasting, they have to do with a never-ending eternity. The consequences of such a boasting has to do with man standing at that judgment seat of God and expecting to enter in there, and that door that being closed forever and forever. Oh, that boasting in that name of Jesus. Oh, what a dangerous thing that this is. And the disciples and the true church of God that feel something of what a dangerous thing that this is. And what are they doing? Then they are asking, Lord, is it I? Oh, then they are examining, not their neighbor, no. No, then they are examining their own heart. This boasting that our fathers are speaking about is not a boasting of God and a denying of God. It is not those that come to that house of God on the Sabbath day and then on the weekday they are living a life that is completely contrary. No, that is awful in itself. This is not just a boasting and denying of God, no. But our fathers speak here about a boasting in and a denying of Jesus. A boasting and a denying of the Savior in words and denying Him as the only deliverer and Savior. Who does this, congregation? All those who claim truly to be a believer and yet have never become in their life a sinner before God. Boast of Him in words. Speak much about His name. Speak much about His work. Speak much about faith. In the name of Jesus, some boasting great things, that God is my Father, and that I am reconciled unto a triune God. But our fathers, they call this what? Boasting. Mere boasting. Why? Because with all the words, we never had need for a Savior. We never had need of Jesus. Never felt in our life a missing of that God whom we have left in paradise. Never felt a longing after Him. Never had a desire to be reconciled to Him again. And not only so, but never mourned our sin, never needed a Savior because we were not able to bring ourselves again into His communion, into His favor. Oh, for what do such need Jesus? For what does such a person need a deliverer? For what does such a person need a Savior? We speak of Him in words, but deny Him in the practice because we have sufficient strength of our own. Because we have sufficient righteousness of our own. Because our pride has never been humbled. Because we have never been broken down. Oh, yes, dutiful Christians. Dutiful Christians, we want to serve Jesus. We want to praise Him. We want to be zealous for Him. But we do not need to be served by Jesus. That mighty, that almighty Savior. And what does this Jesus say? This Jesus says that I did not come to be served. But He said the Son of Man came to minister. He came to serve. Thus, when we have never needed to be served, when we have never known and seen ourselves as wretched, as undone, as guilty, and as a helpless creature in lying in our sin before God,
that we have never become a publican with whom the Lord Jesus could come to sit. That we have never owed as much as 50 pence, which we really and truly were not able to pay. Then we indeed, and then in practice, we have never needed this Savior. Oh, our fathers were not unfamiliar with all that form of religion which was all around them, also under the name of Reformed, and also that form of religion that is within us. In congregation, we can be so easily caught up in this religion. Why? Because it is a religion that is so according to our flesh. It is a religion whereby man can be saved without going lost. But this Savior says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost. Do you understand why our fathers begin here? Do you understand why this is now the first thing that needs to be known by a true heartfelt experience before that anyone can speak of that name of Jesus? Oh, that we may learn to know our need, that we may learn to know him in his ability to save us from our sins. Philpott says we must always speak with two words. What are those two words? Sin and grace. And when man wants in a practical way to skip over the one, then the other can never be glorified. What is the wonder for the true church? The wonder for the true church is the might and the power of that Savior who is able to save them from that depth to which they have fallen. Oh, young people, always listen for the wonder, for the wonder. And if you do not hear of a wonder, then we hope you are not jealous of it. And we hope you may always stay your whole life with this one simple truth. Oh, that wonder needs to take place, and that wonder needs to be experienced in our own life. What does the natural man want to do? He wants to climb higher and higher on that ladder of faith and Christian service until he will enter into heaven. No man must be abased to the lowest, that God may be glorified to the highest. And if man never comes in the pit, and he never comes in the prison, then he never needs to be delivered. Oh, may the Lord give to us that spirit of discernment in our superficial times. Let us sing. Psalter 186, 1 through 4. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1 through 4 of 186.
Our last thought, the receiving of salvation through this name, Jesus. Do then such believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek the salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else, they do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. A complete Savior. He can only be experienced to be so by one who is completely lost. And then He is going to receive the glory, which is the purpose of the Father. And how does our answer say that that Savior will be received? It says by a true faith. And we heard what that was in Lord's Day 7. And when He is received by a true faith, what is going to be experienced? Our fathers say this here. Then they will find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. O congregation, have you ever found all things in Him necessary to your salvation? The thief experienced this to be so. Oh, he found in Him everything that was necessary for his salvation. Why? Because he found in himself nothing. Oh, then he saw in Him, in his passive obedience, the payment for his sin. And in his active obedience also, or what he had not fulfilled, that perfect keeping of that whole law of God. This man hath done nothing amiss, and so that thief, in the last moments of his life, he may find all things in Him necessary for his salvation. A question. The rich young ruler. Was that a wonder to that rich young ruler that the Lord Jesus Christ had perfectly kept the whole law of God? Was that to him a wonder? It was not. He could do the same. He had done the same. All these have I kept, he says, from my youth up. All there is a people for whom it becomes a wonder that the Lord Jesus has perfectly kept that whole law of God. All things necessary for their salvation. What did Paul find in Him? He found in himself a law. A law, he says, in my members. It was the law of sin. Could not get rid of this. This was his grief. This was his sorrow. And yet he may rejoice. Why may he rejoice? Or though he found in himself nothing but guilt, nothing but pollution, or he may say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he may see in Him and find in Him all things necessary for his salvation, even as the chief
chiefest of the sinners who had persecuted the church of God. Congregation, did we ever become the chief of sinners as Paul may become? May this ever become our grief. May this ever become our sorrow. We hear today of this name. It is the name Jesus. That is a Savior. Do you have any work for Him? Is there anything that He is able to do for you in this day? Or is there no work for Him? Why is it that there is no form and that there is no comeliness in this name Jesus, Savior, this day in your heart? Why? That is because we do not grieve, we do not mourn over our sin. That is the whole answer. And as long as we do not mourn and grieve over our sin, there will never be a place in our heart for this Jesus, this Savior. And it will be for us our whole life long but a name of five letters. Oh, then you understand where the beginning is. Oh, let us beseech the Lord that He may begin with us in the beginning. Oh, that we may not take this name upon our lips in a way of boasting of Him, but in a practical way, never had a need for His almighty power, that we did not need to be saved by Him. Do you want to serve the Lord? Is that your desire? Oh, that you do you sing to the glory of His name? Do you minister unto the poor? Do you help those that are afflicted? Oh, congregation, they are all good things. They are all right things. Let us remember that Christ is not glorified by our work. No, He is glorified. And the name of the triune God is glorified by His work. Oh, that we might need a Savior in our life. And that we may come on that side of those who need to be helped, who need to be saved. Oh, is that not, people of the Lord, the greatest wonder that you have seen in your own life? Oh, was that greatest wonder not to see something? The smallest part of this Jesus, of this Savior, was that greatest wonder not to have Him revealed in His might and in His power and in His saving work unto your soul? As the way when you could not see a way, as the physician when your life that was to be snuffed out by your wretched leprosy of sin, when you may see Him as that mediator between God and man, when you could not bring yourself again into the blessed communion of the Lord? Oh, was that not the most precious time in your life when the Lord revealed Him as the Savior? Oh, and what did you experience then? Oh, then you may experience, even if it may be for a moment in your life, all things found in Him necessary unto my salvation. Oh, in that moment of the exercise of faith, then there is nothing lacking on the side of that people by a true saving faith. And what a peace, what a consolation may be by moments experienced in the life of that people only by one little look, by one little sight, by one little ray of light upon this blessed Savior who saves His people from their sins. Oh, then that people find everything. Everything necessary for their salvation in that blessed one-sided work of that triune God. Oh, how precious, how suitable then is this Savior to one who is not able to save himself, to one who is lying in the bottom of that pit and is not able to deliver himself. Oh, how precious is the might, congregation, of a Savior, is it not? A Savior when we are not able to deliver ourselves from death. Oh, do you ever feel it? How that the prince of darkness, that he keeps us by nature in a spiritual death, here is proclaimed, here is declared out of that holy word of God. How that we can be delivered from that death. Oh, that is an almighty power. That is not a natural power, no, that is a spiritual power. And if we may only experience something of the wretchedness of our own heart, oh, then there is such a place coming, such room coming in our soul for the glorifying of this blessed Savior. Oh, then you will not be able with your mouth to speak the things which you may feel in your soul. Oh, with a desire to magnify and to glorify His great and holy name for His saving power. Soon that will all be taken away. Oh, when your body that will go into the grave and the Lord, He will raise it up again instead of full of corruption, full of incorruption, and it will not be mortal anymore, but it will be immortal. And then you will receive your heart desire to magnify and to glorify the name of this Savior, Jesus, forever and forever. Oh, is there a desire? Is there a desire that we may know something of this name? Is there a desire that this name may become precious also unto us? Oh, meditate, congregation. Meditate upon that holy word of God. Meditate upon what the Lord says to us in this word. Oh, meditate upon what our relationship to God is. Meditate upon our own sin. Meditate upon the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God. Oh, meditate upon that moment that we will have to pass out of this world and meet our Maker and our Judge. Oh, that those meditations of Him, that those meditations may be sanctified, that we may see how wretched and how polluted, how guilty and how lost that we are. And that this name, Jesus, He who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, may become everything
unto us also, altogether lovely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot speak. Oh, it is but the words of a human man. Oh, come, Lord. Come with thy Spirit and bring it in all of our hearts for the first time or by renewal. Oh, what a name that thou givest to be declared in this world unto those who are lost. But Lord, we do not see that we are lost. We do not see our sin. We do not see our need for this Savior. And therefore, there is no form, there is no comeliness in him. Oh, make it different, Lord, by thy Spirit. Oh, come and open to us what our guilt is, and that we may need him, that we may cry to him before that it is forever and eternally too late. Bless thy word and the few simple words. Oh, make it simple unto us, a wretched sinner, and a great and a glorious Savior, a mighty Savior. All these fit together. Oh, for such he is so suitable. Oh, for such he is so precious. For such he is so necessary. May we experience it to be so. Give us thought and meditation upon him. Also in the week that is to come, as we go each one about our labors in this world, forgive all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 310, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. I love the Lord. For my request and humble plea, he makes his care. In him through life my faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 310.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.